news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm Janet Atkinson, your host for the show. Thanks for joining us. Well, let's get started with a look at a few headlines. Housing is now open for the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo. That'll be October 30th through November 2nd in Indianapolis. The housing for chapter, states, and alumni is open, and housing for exhibitors, sponsors, and donors, that'll open on June 5th. For dates, pricing, planning information, and of course much more, visit Convention and Expo webpage at convention.ffa.org. Also, the year-long Living to Serve grant application is open and available in both English and Spanish. Middle and high school FFA chapters can apply for up to $3,000 to support year-long service learning projects. The application is due on June 15th. You need ideas for your service learning project? Well, check out ffa.org/livingtoserve. And after 6 great years in South Africa, the International Leadership Seminar for State Officers will head to Spain and Portugal in 2020. 75 current and past state officers can participate in this experience, slated for January. For more information, go online to ffa.org/ILSSO. And finally, the National FFA Foundation has just released its annual report for fiscal year 2018. The report features financial information, impact stories, highlights from the year, and a listing of our sponsors and donors. Of course, you can view it online at annualreport.ffa.org. Well, as we've mentioned over the past few weeks, we are right in the middle of the state convention season. And if you didn't have a chance to make it to the 91st Tennessee State Convention, well, don't worry. You can meet the new slate of state officers right now, courtesy of the Tennessee Farm Bureau.
Congratulations, you were elected as the Tennessee State FFA Sentinel. What thoughts were running through your head when you heard your name called out to run up there on that stage?
I was just thinking, you know, I've had this dream for 2 years, and it's finally coming true. That's all that was going through my brain, is this real?
It was one of the most amazing experiences. This is something I've looked forward to since freshman year, watching my first convention, and I saw that and said, wow, one day I want to do that. So having that opportunity has just been amazing, and to run home to some of the best candidates that FFA or Tennessee FFA has to offer, it's just truly rewarding.
I was just elated. I was honestly, I didn't know what to do. I almost slipped, and it was amazing.
Overall, it was very overwhelming. Other than losing my shoes on the way down, it was fantastic.
I was so excited to then look and see my chapter and the rest of these members, people who I've gone to camp with and spent state convention with for years. And I'm so excited to just be able to be that friend to them for the next year.
When I heard my chapter, it was really inspiring and also motivating, because I know that my chapter has been behind me all the way since I started, since I had an intent to run until now.
I don't really know. I just kind of ran. I heard puh, so I went. I'm just happy to be here. I tried not to trip. I think I succeeded.
It's just mind-boggling as I go up there. I'm just thinking, I did this, because it's hard to believe that when I was a freshman, I didn't talk to anybody. I was extremely shy, and now here I am on the stage at Tennessee FFA State Convention serving as the 2019-2020 state president.
And from the volunteer state, we now head to Minnesota, where U of M's College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Resource Sciences was happy to welcome FFA members to campus for their recent state convention.
Hello, everyone, and welcome FFA to the University of Minnesota.
Welcome to the College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Resource Sciences.
And welcome to the St. Paul campus.
And the 90th FFA State Convention.
I'm always delighted when you come to our campus, and it's especially nice to have you here for your 90th annual meeting. I'm very pleased that the university is part of your agenda for the meeting, and I'm particularly proud of FFA and its long and wonderful history.
We're delighted to have you join us. Hope you'll find this a welcoming home away from home. Many of the FFA students who've come here in the past have found CFANS to be a terrific home for their college experience, and I hope you'll consider that as you explore the campus, see what opportunities might be here for you, and become familiar with the work that we do here. But don't just take my word for it.
CFANS, where I'm able to combine my passion of livestock and my love of sciences to create a major of animal science that I can use to become a great swine veterinarian.
It's where I realized that knowing who you want to be when you grow up is as important as knowing what you want to be when you grow up.
It's where I discovered my potential and found many opportunities for growth.
CFANS is the place where I learned about the nexus between agriculture and the environment and how I can make an impact through policy.
It's also where Norman Borlaug received all three of his degrees.
Where many important varieties of crops, foods, and other agricultural products have been developed.
And where students today are able to choose from 14 different undergraduate majors, preparing them for whatever career they desire in food, agriculture, natural resources, and beyond.
So enjoy your time on campus.
Enjoy your time on campus.
Enjoy your time on campus and have a great convention.
Have a great state convention.
And have a great convention.
And finally, the city of Cheyenne just saw a big rise in the number of blue jackets as the Wyoming FFA Association State Convention came to town. Cowboy State Daily had some of the details on the equestrian contest taking place around the big event.
This is our halter classes for the FFA contest. We have an aged mare and aged quarter horse gelding class. We have a four-year-old quarter horse mare class and a performance gelding class. There's high school and junior high. They don't get to use any notes. They don't get to talk to their neighbors or their coaches. And so this is truly them trying to use what they've learned with their coach and now put it into play and then see what the outcome is.
And how did they get to the point where they know what they're looking at?
Well, they have a lot of practice with really great coaches around the state. The students, I would say, they learn how to defend what they see. And so they're working on their public speaking skills, and whether they place things correct or not, they need to defend what they saw and why. So that's important for them as individuals, and they become very confident because they learn how to speak well in front of people. It's pretty uncomfortable for them because they have to speak in front of anyone, and you're kind of putting yourself out there and what you see and what you believe, and it's challenging.
You're kind of taking over your own learning, and you're managing yourself, kind of what you want to learn about. And even we have a cattle ranch back home. You learn even more than you do there. You know, you're just continuing your progress and your learning and growth. And so I think there's always something to take back, whether it's the people you meet or the things you learn.
How they place the classes is what we are looking for how they are going to perform and place as an individual. They'll place as individuals and they'll place as a team. And so you can do well individually, you can do well as a team. They're also going to speak and give reasons, which is defending why you placed the class the way you did.
That's where you get the most experiences, is where you ask, because there's tons of people here that are willing to help and give you the advice and knowledge that you are seeking for. You just got to put yourself out there and ask.
What's really cool is that they're able to give back to 4-H and FFA. As an adult someday, they may become leaders or some opportunity within that. They can also continue their judging. That's where a lot of these guys will go judge 4-H and open shows, and that's an awesome opportunity to give back for all that they've been given.
Really, there's lots of kids that want to get out and learn, and we just started our own ranch at our high school up there, our little Red Devil Ranch, and it's pretty cool to watch kids get out and get the experiences that they want. They want to be involved in helping agriculture and just be a part of something bigger, you know.
Love FFA. It gives the students a wonderful opportunity to continue being a part of agriculture. If you would go to the national FFA, it's huge. Wyoming always has a very strong presence in it, and we're very proud of that.
And of course, keep it right here for all the latest updates as convention season rolls on. But stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment with a young lady who is truly expanding her business from the ground up. Next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to the FFA Today contributor and host of the Off Farm Income Podcast, Mr. Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Mackenzie Fish, a Pennsylvania member who's growing her business of raising and selling worms.
Joining me today is Mackenzie Fish, and she is coming to us from Central Columbia High School in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, where she's serving as her chapter's president. Mackenzie, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. I'm excited to hear about your SAE. You've got a really interesting project going on. Well, how old are you, Mackenzie?
I'm 18 years old.
All right. How long have you been part of the FFA?
Since freshman year of high school, so it'd be 4 years.
All right. Now, what made you want to join? Why did you become part of this organization?
I have an older sister that was in it, and my father and grandfather were both in it, too. And then I saw some videos that the high school came and showed us while I was still in middle school, mm-hmm. and it was very unique. I got to see both like wildlife and equestrian or anything that I was passionate about was like all in that same class. So sure. I was really excited to take something like that.
Cool. So you got recruited.
Yep.
Very good. So you had the family legacy, and then of course you got to see what it was all about. So you've been doing it for 4 years now. Has it lived up to your expectations?
It has a lot. When I first joined, there was like no communication. I wouldn't talk at all. And then my ag advisors really helped me to get involved with public speaking and do some competitions. And mm-hmm. it definitely helped me a lot.
Here you are. You're talking to thousands of people now.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Okay. Now, how long have you been serving as an officer?
I started as a junior advisor my freshman year, and then I moved to secretary position, and then recently a president position for this year.
Okay. So what pushes you to want to serve as an officer? I mean, you're already doing so much in school and then with the FFA on top of that. What makes you want to be an officer as well?
I think just looking up to other FFA members and seeing everyone involved in my chapter, looking up to like the state officers, it was something that I wanted to take on because mm-hmm. I was passionate about it.
Well, that's very cool. Well, good for you. And what's been the biggest challenge this year serving as the president?
Keeping track with all the meetings and knowing what members are going to do, what competitions, and helping them out would probably be the most difficult.
Very cool. Well, good for you. Well, now let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So what have you been doing?
So basically, I raise worms, all different kinds of worms. And I stock them for stores for fishermen and then also people who have reptiles, and they will use them for treat. But when I raise the worms myself, they reproduce, and then they also have castings in the bins. And that's something, there's like an educational side to my project where I get to do presentations and be like a guest speaker at some banquets. I've been able to tell people about the casting benefits and with the worms.
Very cool. Okay, so how did you get started with worms?
I originally started it thinking it would be a very simple project, that there would be like no communication involved. Mm-hmm. That was the complete opposite, though. I started with a supplier from Pennsylvania where I'm at, and I got a box of 500 worms from them. Mm-hmm. And then I came up with my logo, Fish's Worms. And because my last name is Fish, I had the perfect last name for a slogan, "Let a fish bait your hook." And so that kind of gave me incentive to work this business. And then I started finding out that when I had to clean the bins about all the benefits with the castings, and I had a passion for fishing too. So to take it the fishing industry route, I knew that I could do good with this project and take it far.
That is really cool. You said you're raising all different types of worms. Do you have a favorite type of worm?
The red worms are probably my favorite because they can consume almost anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's neat to put anything in the growing bins and see how much they like it.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. Now, how does this process work? So you initially bought 500 worms to get you started. Now you get the worms delivered to yep. your place. What do you have to have ready, and what do you do after the worms get delivered?
So I have growing bins, and when they get delivered, I put them into the growing bins, and I always have my bins labeled for what date it is because I have to feed them and keep the moisture at a certain level for them. And depending on what worm species I raise, they have to be at a certain temperature. So that's something I'm always checking. And then I have to have a very good environment for them to reproduce. That was something that didn't happen for me until a whole entire year into my project. And it was really neat to see all the worm eggs and then the small worms. And
really interesting. What do you have to put in the tubs, I guess, for them to grow in? I mean, is it just dirt? Is it topsoil? What do you have to put in?
Oh, we also put in They have the dirt and topsoil and a lot of newspaper. They consume a lot of food scraps, and we always keep straw in there because it's a slow breakdown process for them. And some of the worms I have to watch, they can't consume things. I have a mealyworm that has a bacteria in its stomach, and it can break down styrofoam, which is pretty neat. But there's not too much more over the bins. I keep a light, though, because they're non-phototactic, and if I didn't have that, they would get out and be everywhere, and that's happened before.
Oh, really? So without light, they'll escape the bin?
They do, and that's how we actually we get the castings out of the bins by flipping the bin upside down, and they all go to the center because they don't like the light, and then we can take the castings off.
Very interesting. Well, tell me about developing your business. So when you started this project, did you intend it to be a business, or is that something that you've kind of realized was possible for you over time?
That was something I realized over time. I started out in a few different store locations, and then eventually people started to become familiar with my business. And there's not too many live bait stores around my location. And the only other one that was in close proximity, they experienced a devastating fire. But they turned around and wanted to help me. And then my brother also wants to be involved with this project. And we wanted to take it to the next level with constructing our own store. So I went to get my zoning permit. And then I also am planning to raise minnows as well as worms in the store. So I went through the Department of Ag to get a permit to raise them. There's certain minnows that I can't have because I live in the Susquehanna watershed in Pennsylvania. So some are off limits. And then so far we've had like certified electricians come in and check all the work, and it's coming along.
Really cool. So you're going to raise minnows as well. So your passion for fishing has a lot to do with what you're doing here, obviously.
Yep, it does.
Very cool. Do you advertise the fact that this is also an FFA project?
I do. I've used it for multiple FFA competitions, like ag sales. I've also done it for my local fair. So I've used it a lot for FFA too.
Very, very cool. Well, that is great. Now tell me about the name again. The name is Fish's Worms. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
So I've got to ask you, so you're going to be graduating. So what's going to go on with you once you graduate, and what's going to go on with Fish's Worms?
So I'm hoping that the store will open before I graduate. I'm planning to attend a college close by so I can help with the business. I plan to attend for 2 years and then go further out to get a degree in wildlife and fisheries management. And so I don't know exactly from there what's going to happen, but
well, that's fascinating. And have you had other jobs throughout high school other than this, or has this business been your primary source of you working and making money?
I have another job actually working with horses doing barn work. And what I earned off of that is actually some of what I put into getting worms shipped to me and investments I've made in this business.
That is great. I'm fascinated with the fact that you've got so much passion for this that you're working another job. And in high school, when I was in high school and I worked a job, I spent that money just on me. I didn't invest it into a business. You're investing it into something that is going to provide you a ton of experience and a revenue source going forward. That's great. Good for you.
Thank you.
You bet. That's awesome. Well, I've got to ask you. So if there's another student out there listening and they've got a passion for something like fishing or whatever it may be, and they're looking and they're going, I wish I could make a living doing that, what advice would you have for a student that would want to replicate what you've done in their passion?
That there's definitely going to be a lot of trial and error. There's going to be a lot of loss. I've lost thousands of worms. You just have to learn from those experiences and keep working at it. And if you're passionate about it, you can go far with it no matter what. You'll find ways to do that.
That's a great answer, and I think you're 100% right. If it's truly the right fit for you, you're going to find a way to make it happen, right?
Yep.
That's great, Mackenzie. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. I'm fascinated with your business, fascinated with your passion, and really enjoyed hearing about it.
Thank you.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
And a special thanks, as always, to Matt for another terrific interview. Well, don't go anywhere. We're off to the Cornhusker State next, right here on Rural Radio. Well, thanks for tuning in to this week's show. Now, one of the big attractions at last month's Nebraska State Convention was the Hall of Chapters, created by 43 chapters across the Husker State. And Pender FFA member Isabel Paredes explains her chapter's display and their spin on this year's convention theme, Rise.
This barn, when we heard the theme was Rise, it reminded us of an old FFA t-shirt called Raising the Barn. And we basically displayed how the interconnection and how you rise up from bottom to middle to top. And so we displayed Ag Ed, FFA, and SAE. But FFA would be nowhere without Ag Education. That is why it's the foundation. I am currently a freshman, and I take Intro to Ag. And I basically know everything from grades 7 through 12. And so we learned a little bit about agribusiness, ag mechanics and welding, natural resources, so we could get interested into FFA. And so we become FFA members. And as we rise into FFA, we develop our SAEs. Now our SAEs are what students do for their jobs. My SAE is agriculture related, so I raise Holstein bucket calves and hope to work on Gunther's Dairy Farm one day or a dairy farm nearby. So as you can see here, you start out as a green hand. Go to your chapter degree and then rise for your state, which some of our FFA members are getting on Friday. And then if you want to go further into education, you get your American degree. In FFA earlier this year, I competed in CCM, so Chapter Conduct of Meetings, and then my team, we had two teams. One of them is competing in a little bit, and then the other one, my team, got alternate. And so after that, I competed in land judging and dairy judging and livestock judging to get more involved in FFA, and then now I am competing in this.
Well, thanks to KRVN for that piece. Now, finally today, we take a short trip south to Dakin, Nebraska, a town of less than 200 surrounded by cornfields where Meridian High School calls home. And now, after many years, the high school has finally assembled an FFA chapter.
Meridian Public Schools sits about 2 miles west of Dakin on Highway 4, surrounded by cornfields.
It's been a long time coming is what I've been hearing. It's a rural community, like the school's in the middle of a cornfield, so there's been a lot of push from community and parents and the students themselves too, I've heard, so I think it's really good that they finally got it, and so far this year we got our officer team. They've been doing amazing work so far.
A rural school through and through that hadn't sponsored FFA. That is, until now.
We're in the middle of a cornfield and everybody was into ag. I mean, everybody I talked to when I started pushing for it was like, oh yeah, that'd be a good idea, but there was just not enough push for it until now, and so it finally happened.
Chapter advisor Sarah Wallenberg has about 40 students enrolled in FFA. One of those students is senior Kim Becker from Germany, who placed 9th overall at state land judging in Wahoo. Up next will be livestock judging in November.
Our first contest was land judging out in Syracuse, where they went and evaluated soil and farmers how to use their land. And now we're prepping for livestock judging, how to pick which animals you want to breed, which ones you want to use for market. So lots of contests and leadership stuff has been going on.
Senior treasurer Frederick Kuyat was one of 6 chapter members who helped serve a free hot dog meal to area producers at Farmers Cooperative. For Frederick, FFA has helped him gain valuable skills for life after high school.
I wasn't the best at public speaking, and now I'm forced to get up in front of everybody else and present myself in a way that I think will help me out later on in life for job interviews and stuff like that.
Meridian hopes that FFA will prepare its chapter members to better serve agriculture and to better serve their community. For News Channel Nebraska, I'm Tommy Rezach.
Well, congratulations to the members and also to the local community. And best of luck as the chapter continues to get its feet on the ground. And that'll do it for this week's show. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email to ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-7766-147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.